Second Kings in the chapter 5. We're beginning to read at the verse 1. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies, and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told him his Lord, saying, Thus and thus saith the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. And it was so, when Elisha the man of God had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth, and went away, and said, Behold, I thought, he will surely come out to me, and stand, and call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place, and recover the leper. Are not Abama and Pharpar rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, Wash and be clean? Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And we know that God will bless this reading from his own precious word. Let's bow in prayer, please. Heavenly Father, tonight as we gather together, we come, and Lord, we ask thee to touch the families of those that were so sadly bereaved, O God, even last night, that thou would just come and comfort them and help them and bless them and those that were injured. And O God, we pray that you will speak even through this tragedy to the land, and that they will return unto thee, the only true and living God. We pray now that you will bless the word that has been read in thy presence, write it upon our hearts. Cleanse my heart afresh of the precious blood. Fill me afresh, O God, with thy Holy Spirit, and enable me to preach thy word. For we ask it in Jesus' precious and lovely name. Amen. Amen. And the verse 14, Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the sayings of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. There is no doubt our God is a miracle-working God. And as we read through the Bible, we find again and again the record that is left by the Holy Spirit of God's miraculous working power in the lives of ordinary men and women. And the story of Naaman, captain of the host of Syria, is one example that should touch each one of our hearts as we read it and meditate upon it. We have Naaman, the mighty captain. We have Naaman's deadly disease. We have the little maid who was a captive from her own land. We have the king of Syria. We have the king of Israel. We have the prophet Elisha, God's servant. We have the messenger sent by Elisha to the king of Israel. What a scene we have pictured for us. The deadly disease, the message of the little maid, the king of Israel in his dilemma, the captain's anger, the mighty power of God in cleansing Naaman, miracle that took place. You see, God still heals today. Christian, never forget that God still lays his healing hand upon individuals. He uses doctors. He uses nurses. And he comes, and through the knowledge that they have of medicine, etc., he uses and he touches and he heals. But God still miraculously heals in answer to our prayers. And we should always be praying for those that are sick. But we want to look at this story tonight, and we see, first of all, the position of Naaman. He was captain of the host of the king of Syria, a man of great position and authority. In the verse 1, now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria. He was very friendly with the king of Syria. He was a great man with his master, we're told. He won many battles for Syria. The Lord had blessed his armies to bring correction to the children of Israel. He was a mighty man of valor himself, not just an organizer, but a soldier in battle. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor. And then we have but. He was a leper. The most dread disease of leprosy had touched this great man. Leprosy had made him unclean. You see, leprosy was no respecter of persons. The young, the old, the middle-aged, those who were in high places of authority, and those who were down at the very bottom. Leprosy touched each one. And this mighty captain found himself in the position of being a leper. And what a tragedy that must have been. Just imagine someone being told they had AIDS or an incurable cancer. The shock that it brings to them. I can remember our brother Brian Ferguson. He was an elder in our church in Omagh. Brian had a very good job in the water service, and he was promoted to Belfast. And he wasn't feeling too good, and he was having problems in the morning, and he said he wanted to go and get it checked out before he would start travelling to Belfast to his new position in the water service. And he went and he got his tests done, and then he was called in by the consultant. And he said, the consultant said to him, you have cancer. And he said he might as well have hit me with a sledgehammer. And he said, I looked at him and said, how long have I got? And he says, Ronnie, that was the worst question I ever asked. And he looked at me and he says, I don't know. He said, I pressed him further and said, will I be here at Christmas? And he shook his head and said, no. And he said, I never was as devastated. Of course, he lived for a couple of years after that. But it ruined his job. And it ruined his life. As far as that was concerned, when he was diagnosed, he said he might as well have been hit with a sledgehammer. This was a blight on this great captain's career. It spelt the end of his army life, the end of his family life, and eventually the end of his earthly life. And to say that he was devastated would be an understatement. Sin, of course, we have here this tremendous picture with this dread disease of all the human race, leprosy. This is something that we can look at tonight and see that we all have. Not just some, but everyone. In the whole wide world, you cannot meet anyone who has not got the disease of sin in their heart. Sin is common to all, and there's no exception. Men and women have it from birth. But not until they realize the consequences of sin that it becomes the dreadful disease to get rid of. You see, it's not until something happens to you and you go to the doctor and you realize that you have a disease, the question is, doctor, can you do anything for me? Now that's natural. But you know, whenever it comes to the dread disease of sin, and we realize the consequences of our sin, then we begin to seek a way to get rid of sin, to be reconciled to God. My dear friend, tonight, I wonder, is there someone in the meeting and you realize that you're a sinner? Why? Because the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. But have you come to that stage in your life where you realize that this disease that's in your body, it's going to take you down to a lost sinner's hell? And it's only then that man and woman begin to seek, how do I get rid of my sin? How do I be reconciled to the eternal God of heaven? You see, cancer can be in the body for years, not noticed. But as soon as it is diagnosed, you seek to get rid of it. Sin is the same. When you realize the awful consequences of sin, and that's what's wrong in this world today, in this land of ours in which we're in. Men and women do not realize the awfulness of sin in their life. They do not realize that it separates them from God. It destroys their life upon earth, and it's going to take them to the lake of fire when they die. And it's only when God, the Holy Ghost, opens their heart and they realize, perhaps for the first time, like the Philippian jailer of old, when he was awakened at midnight, and suddenly he cried out, what must I do to be saved? And you know, tonight, that's where the people in Guildford need to come. The people in County Armagh, the people all over Ireland tonight need to come to that position where they realize they have a dread disease in their heart called sin, and it is destroying them and destroy them for all eternity. And they realize then that they need to be reconciled to God. And Naaman was in this position that he recognized that he had this dread disease of leprosy. But then we have the proposal of the maid. Here was love in action, brought away captive from her own land, a maid in the home of the conquering captive's house. And although heartbroken, alone and a prisoner, she displays the type of spirit of Paul and Silas when they sang in the prison. You know, some would have said, let him die. He came down and he took you away, or he took me away from my country and from my family. Let him die. But you know, this young girl was different. Her message was clear. If Naaman went to the prophet in Samaria, he would be healed. You see, this little maid knew who the man of God was. She knew the power of God to heal, and what tremendous knowledge that she had. You know, many today claim to have love for their fellow man. You know, but unless you warn them of the danger of hellfire. And you know, that's what we should be doing at all times as God's children. We should be witnessing to man and woman and warning them. Now, when I say that, that doesn't mean you take them by the throat and put them up against the wall and say, you listen to me. That's stupidity. But you use common sense. And in the course of a conversation, whenever they bring round the gospel to you or something you can agree with them in, you can say, yes, I agree with you, but, you know, the Bible teaches that you're a sinner and you're lost, but thank God there's a Savior from all sin if you only let him in. And here was this young maid, and she knew the man of God. She knew the power of God to heal, and she was sharing it with this captain who had brought her captive away from her own land. And that's what we need to be doing as God's children in these days, talking to men and women and witnessing to them. The position of Naaman, the proposal of the maid, but we have the place Naaman came to. You see, the message of the maid was relayed to Naaman and then to the king of Syria, and he immediately sent Naaman to the king of Israel. You see, he assumed the king could help. He was the top man in the land of Israel. And he sent Naaman, of course, to the wrong man. He sent him to the wrong place. He thought he could buy healing on the verse 5. And the king of Syria said, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. Yes, he was prepared to give so that his captain could be healed. And he went to the king of Israel. The king of Israel was the one who should have known God. Should have known God's prophet. And yet he knew neither God nor his prophet. And you know, that was a tragedy. Many today are burdened with sin. And they go to the wrong place. They go to the wrong man for healing. The Muslims have the prophet Muhammad. And they worship him. And he can't do anything for them. The Mormons have Joseph Smith and his teaching. And they follow his teaching. And he can do nothing for them. The Roman Catholics have the priest and the Pope. And they go through all the ritual of Romanism. And it can do absolutely nothing for them. Protestants believe that their heritage or their church membership or their baptism is somehow or other going to get them into heaven. How foolish to go and to depend on the wrong person to tell you how to get rid of your sin. You see, only the Lord Jesus. And if you come to the foot of the old rugged cross, can you have forgiveness? And can you have cleansing from that dread disease of sin? The place Naaman came to was to the wrong man and to the wrong place. But thank God then we see the provision that was provided. Although the king could not help, there was a prophet of God who was ready, who was willing and able to deliver the message of healing. Because in the verse 8 we read, "And it was so, when Elisha the man of God had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." You see, here was one who could deal with his disease. Naaman, of course, whenever he was sent for, he went, yes. But when he arrived, he expected the prophet to come out, and he expected him to come before him, and he expected him to do it his way. He did not want the messenger, but he wanted the prophet. And he rejected the message that he was to go and wash 7 times in Jordan. But Naaman was wroth and went his way and said, "Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. I thought." You see, how many is in this land of ours tonight? Maybe someone even in the meeting tonight. And you're saying, "I thought that what I'm doing is all right. I think that the way that I live my life, I'm a good, upright person. I never went out and murdered anybody. I never did this, I never did that, and I think that I'll be all right whenever I die." And you know, that is the attitude of a vast number of people in this land. And I would say that there is a vast number of people, even in Guildford tonight, and if you were talking to them and they were honest, they would possibly say to you, "Well, you know, I'm all right. I will be all right. I'll take my chance. I don't do anybody any harm." He rejected the message. Anger and disgust because God did not choose his way to heal him. I thought. Many today fall. They're full of sin. They long for pardon, for peace, and for forgiveness. They hear the message of salvation. And yet in anger they refuse it because it goes against what they think. They want God's salvation, yes, but without living the life of a Christian. And you see, there are so many today, and I've heard at different times, and they say they have made their commitment. And you know, salvation's not making a commitment. Salvation is the power of God coming into your heart and my heart, regenerating it by his Holy Spirit, changing us from the inside out, and enabling us to live and produce the fruits of the Spirit in our life from day to day. And there's many people, and they want, yes, God's salvation, but they do not want to change. They do not want to give up their sin. They want to continue to live in the world. They want to continue to live for the things of the world. And you know, when I look back to my early days and realize what God's children was expected of you and what it is today. You know, way back in early days, a long time ago, 50, 60 years ago, when someone was saved by God's grace, the sign, the first sign that they were saved was that they were at the prayer meeting. And if you went to the prayer meeting and then you stopped going to it, they would have told you you were backslidden. And now a lot of God's children never darken the door of a prayer meeting. The Reverend Morrow was in our church for, 16 or 17 years, and he said before he retired, some of you members have never been in this prayer meeting in all the years I've been here. You know, that is sad. We need, as God's children, when we're changed by the power of God, to have a desire for the house of God and a desire to hear the word of God preached and a desire for the place of prayer. Why is it things are not happening today? Because prayer meetings, the people are not there. We need in these days, when we're saved by God's grace, to have a desire. Now, I know there's two can't get out if there's small children in a house. But thank God for those who do come and do prayer. And we thank God for the spirit of prayer that has been in the little back room. And I trust that if you're saved tonight, that you have a desire in your heart to pray, a desire to read God's word, and a desire to show forth in your life the evidence that you're a child of God. Thank God his servants had more sense than Naaman. Reminded Naaman it was he who had the disease, and to do what he was told to do and be healed. And you know, many today need to be told what they have to do. That you have to repent, that you have to come to Christ and be washed in the precious blood, and that you have to be changed by the power of God into a child of God. But Naaman needed to be told. And you know, there's a vast majority of people in this land of ours, and they need to be told. That's why this gospel mission has been held in Guildford. That men and women in this area have been told by the invitations that have gone through the doors and the literature, and by those who have come in, that they need to listen to God's word and to come God's way. You see, only one cleansing for Naaman, and that was in the River Jordan. The only cleansing for sinners is the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. You see, you need to realize and come God's way. Many in years past have refused to be saved, come and gone from the house of God, and gone as they have come, without Christ and without hope. And when they die and have died, they went straight to a lost sinner's hell. Yet many in years that are past were wise, and they cried unto God, and they were gloriously saved. And tonight they're in heaven, and they're with Christ, which is far better. And you know, it is tremendous. I don't often go to a graveyard. I'm not a person for going and visiting graveyards. There's a man I knew years ago, and he used to go and meditate among the tombstones. And whatever turns someone on, but I don't often go. But I went out one day to visit my father and mother's grave. I stood at that grave and I looked at it. And I thought, well, when the Lord returns, that grave is going to open. And they're going to be resurrected. They're going to go up to meet the Lord in the air. And I'm going to be with them. Why? Because they were saved by God's grace. And you know, maybe I told you this before. I forget half of what I tell. But in the mission that came to Glenigarra Orange Hall, there was nobody came to it for 3 or 4 nights. And that was way back in 1932. A Miss Sharples was in it. And there wasn't one came, and they were going to have to leave it and move on. And they saw a farmer gathering potatoes in a field, and they went and they changed their clothes, and they went back and they gathered potatoes all day, and nobody spoke to them. And in the evening they said to the farmer, "Can we announce the mission?" And he said, "Yes." And that night the hall was packed. And from that onward, and there was a goodly number of people saved. And a young girl was saved at that meeting. And she later became my mother. They moved round the road to Newton Savile, Orange Hall. And there was a young man there. He got saved. And they were greatly used of God. His father got saved the next night. His sister got saved the night after that. And his mother got saved the night after that. And he became my father. And you know, God moved and saved them. And I knew when I looked at that grave, I was walking along those graves and I saw others that I knew had been saved. And I thought, it thrilled my soul that this day was coming, that the graves were going to open and we were going to be united again in the land that is fairer than day. But you know, as I walked past some of those graves, I saw names of people that I knew, some of them that I was at school with, some of them that I knew in the church that I went to in the years gone past. And I knew that they left no testimony. And you know, my heart sank as I realized that unless they had come to Christ before they died, that grave was going to remain closed. And what a tragedy. And you know, my dear friend, that is why you and I tonight, as God's children, need to be praying for our families. That's how we need to be witnessing to them, because it's too late when they get to the grave. And thank God, his servants reminded him. And he went. Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child. Here we have the perfect cure at Jordan. The story began in tragedy. It nearly ended in tragedy. And yet Naaman at last came to the right place and he did the right thing and he had a perfect cure. And he went on his way rejoicing because he had been healed of the disease of leprosy that was so devastating for him. And sinner, tonight, if you're in the meeting, I ask you to be wise and to come to the right place, to the foot of the old rugged cross, to the right person, the only person, the Lord Jesus Christ, to do the right thing, to repent, and to call on the Lord Jesus to save you. And thank God you will receive cleansing. You will have a place in God's family, and you will have a home in heaven. A perfect cure for your sin and for its consequences. My dear friend, tonight if you're saved, rejoice. And thank God that you're saved. Thank God that you've been cleansed. Thank God that you're in his family. Thank God you have a home being prepared in the land that is fairer than day. But if you're here tonight and you're not saved, maybe you've sat under the gospel for years and you've yet to come and put your trust and faith in the Lord Jesus, I urge you tonight to come to the foot of the old rugged cross and cry unto the eternal God of heaven, say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Cleanse away my sin. Make me a child of thine. Give to me thy great salvation, so rich and so free. And you know the beauty is that he will hear your cry. He'll cleanse you. He'll forgive your sin. And he'll give you eternal life. And he'll give you a home in heaven. Then you will know with assurance in your heart. And you can rejoice then that you are ready for that day when you're called to leave this scene of time. We don't know when that call is going to come. It can come when we're young. It has come in years gone past. It can come in middle age. And it can come and will come in old age. But my dear friend, if we're ready to go, we don't care when it comes. Because it will be absent from the body and present with the Lord. Money cannot buy God's salvation. It's free of charge to all who will come and call upon the name of the Lord